Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, reading from chapter 18, verses 18 to 28. Let us listen for God's word. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. In the book of Acts, we read the story of how the church grew at a miraculous rate following the day of Pentecost. As the message about Jesus spread out all across the Roman world, great numbers of people became believers. The story we find in Acts is an inspiring one. It reminds us of the big things that can happen when the Holy Spirit moves to put God's plan into effect. The church grows. There are many, many baptisms, and all kinds of new people put their faith in Jesus. But as great as this story is, we have to keep in mind that it's actually just the opening chapter in a much larger drama. When people are baptized and made members of the church, that's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. When God brings people into the church, he's just getting started. When the Bible talks about people who have been baptized, it uses a very specific word for them. Surprisingly, that word is not the one that we usually use. We usually call a person who's been baptized a Christian. That's a perfectly good word. And you will find it in the Bible. But not as often as you might expect. There are only three places in the Bible where someone is called a Christian. The rest of the time, the Bible uses a different word. The Bible uses the word disciple. When we hear the word disciple, we probably think of the 12 disciples. We probably think of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and the rest of the 12 individuals who followed Jesus around Galilee and Judea and became his closest companions. With the exception of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, these disciples went on to become leaders in the early church. They were the key people Jesus used to build his church. But what we may not realize is that Jesus didn't just want 12 disciples. He didn't merely want a small elite group of disciples. He wanted an endless number of disciples. He wanted everyone who had faith in him to become his disciple. A disciple, in the simplest meaning of the word, is a student. The 12 disciples were Jesus' students as he went about his ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. They learned from what they heard him say and what they saw him do. As they stayed close to him day and night, they learned how to become more like him. When we put our faith in Jesus, we too become students of Jesus. There is much for us to learn. In fact, we never stop learning. We don't just go through a short training period when we first join the church and then graduate from our Christian education. We never stop being disciples. In Acts chapter 18, we find an example of how Jesus' followers are always learning. This is the story of a married couple by the name of Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila were Christians who were originally from Rome. They had to leave Rome because of some persecution that was happening there. After getting out of Rome, they went to the city of Corinth. It was there that they met the Apostle Paul. They struck up quite a strong friendship with Paul and even worked with him. When Paul later moved on from Corinth to the city of Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila went with him. Paul was always on the move, so he didn't stay long in Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila, however, put down roots, and they soon became leaders in the Ephesian church. It's always fascinated me that when the book of Acts mentions this couple, Priscilla's name often comes first. It was not normal in that culture for a wife's name to be mentioned before her husband's. That suggests that Priscilla was quite a remarkable person. It also suggests that being a woman did not prevent her from having a very important role in the church, a role that was certainly not less than that of her husband and possibly even greater. That role included teaching. Priscilla and Aquila were helping the new Christians in Ephesus grow in their faith. In fact, they had the opportunity to teach one of the most talented new Christians to arrive in Ephesus, a man by the name of Apollos. The book of Acts describes Apollos as a learned man. Apollos knows his Bible. And he's an impressive preacher. He's very good at teaching people about Jesus. But even Apollos doesn't know everything. Even Apollos has something more to learn. And it's through Priscilla and Aquila that God will teach it to him. Priscilla and Aquila will invite Apollos to their home so they can help him understand the way of God more fully. The gap in Apollos' Christian education has to do with his understanding of baptism. Apollos knows all about the baptism that John the Baptist had been doing. When John was baptizing people out in the Judean desert, he was doing it as a sign of God's forgiveness for sin. John's baptism was an important baptism, and from a Christian point of view, there was nothing wrong with it. But for Christians, John's baptism didn't go far enough. It wasn't baptism in the full Christian sense. Christian baptism is baptism in Christ's name. In fact, it's something even more than that. It's baptism into Christ. It's a baptism that leads into a life long relationship with Jesus. Apollos needs to learn this. He needs to see that he hasn't just received forgiveness for his sins, as important as that is. He needs to realize that he's been brought into a new life in relationship with Jesus. As learned as he is still a student. He is a disciple of Jesus. And he will continue to be a disciple his whole life. Apollos could easily have made the mistake of thinking that being a disciple had to do with learning new information about God. While there were truths that Apollos needed to learn, there was more to being a disciple than that. Apollos could have memorized the whole Bible from back to front and still not have been the kind of disciple that Jesus wanted him to be. What he knew was important, but even more important was who he knew. To be a disciple of Jesus, he needed to have a relationship with Jesus. Ideas about Jesus weren't enough. He needed to be aware of Jesus' living, guiding presence in his life. This is what it means for each of us to be disciples. It means that we follow Jesus' guiding presence in our lives. We have an ongoing relationship with him in which he is the teacher and we are the students. If you think of the Easter story, you'll remember that the first thing Mary Magdalene says to the risen Jesus is Rabboni, which means teacher. Actually, it means something even more than that. It means my teacher. These were the very first words anybody said to the risen Jesus. And they are words that capture the exact relationship we have with the risen Christ. He is my teacher. He is your teacher. He is our teacher. And he's not our teacher just because he's left us some lessons from the past. He is our teacher because he is alive today, leading us right now in the way he wants us to go. He is our teacher because he is alive today, molding us right now into the people he wants us to be. Jesus doesn't stop teaching us the moment we emerge from the baptismal waters. In fact, that's the moment when the lessons really start. Joined in relationship with him through baptism, we are launched on a lifelong journey of discovery as we learn more and more every day about who he is and as we learn more and more every day about what he wants us to be. In any relationship we're a part of, we never stop learning new things about the other person. This happens even for couples who've been married for a very long time. A few years ago, a friend of mine invited me to preach at his induction service at his new church. At one point in my sermon, I told a story that I've often told around here in one form or another. The story is about a couple who've been married for 25 years. And on every single Sunday of those 25 years, the wife has made Boston cream pie for dessert. Then one Sunday, after 25 years of marriage, the husband says, "Dear, I don't like Boston cream pie. I've never liked Boston cream pie. I just thought you should know." When I told this story at the induction service, there was a woman in one of the front rows who laughed out loud. And then she kept on laughing. In fact, she laughed so hard that I thought she was going to fall right out of her pew. I never did find out why she thought that story was so funny. But I have to think it was because it had a ring of truth to it. Something just like that must have happened to her. If in our human relationships we are always discovering new things, just think how much more that's going to happen in our relationship with Christ. And in our relationship with Christ, this process of learning more and more isn't about silly things like whether or not we like Boston cream pie. It's about holy things that can help us grow in our faith. It's about the things that can help us to grow into Christian maturity. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul talked about how God's ultimate goal for us is to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to become mature in our faith. But look at how he defines maturity. Paul says that God wants us to keep learning and keep growing until we become like Christ himself. Eugene Peterson, who died just a couple of weeks ago, was a writer and pastor who had a deep impact on many people. In one of his many books, he wrote about what it meant for him to be a pastor. It all boiled down to helping people learn how to be like Jesus. He said, "It is not enough that I announce the gospel, explain it, or whip up enthusiasm for it. I want it lived in detail, lived on the streets and on the job, lived in the bedrooms and kitchens, lived through dance and divorce, lived with children and in marriage." Peterson went on to admit that along the way he had found that this also meant living the gospel himself, which turned out to be a far more formidable assignment. In his book, The Message, Peterson took Paul's words from Ephesians and rephrased them in simpler language. Where Paul talked about becoming mature, Peterson simply said, God wants us to grow up. And that growing up, Peterson said, involves being healthy in God, robust in love. That's what it means to become like Christ. We can't grow up spiritually just through our own efforts. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to work within us. The Holy Spirit is the source of our true growth. But there is something we can do to prepare ourselves for the Holy Spirit's transforming work. We can make sure we stay close to Jesus, our teacher. We can stay close to him through prayer. We can stay close to him through reading the Bible. We can stay close to him by sharing together with his people. If we stay close to Jesus, he will never stop teaching us. He will influence us in ways we're not even aware of. And he'll change us in ways that we would never imagine possible. We are disciples. We are students. We are apprentices, learning from our master, who is alive and active in our lives. On this side of heaven, our learning never ends. We are always in the process of growing up. We are always in the process of becoming more like Christ. I've noticed that some people don't really like being students. When my cousin finished school, he made a bonfire and burned all his books. The student life just wasn't for him. But being a disciple of Jesus is not like that. Being a disciple of Jesus is not an onerous task. That's because being a disciple of Jesus means staying close to him. And that is not a dreary duty. It is nothing less than joy. Joy of the purest kind. The joy of heaven. That will never end. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, help us always to stay close to Jesus, our teacher and our living Lord. Help us to learn how we can become more like him. We pray in his name. Amen.